We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it in or call it in. We got the same number for both. Need to get your input. I chose not to have callers. I chose not to have scheduled guests today because I'm hoping that some of you guys will chime in on this. JT Lacey Springs says, well, that was a give me goosebumps monologue. Every day our shoulders become a bit heavier carrying the Bidenomic agenda. That's exactly right. Thank you, JT. I appreciate you, man. John from Harvest says, feel good monologue. Did you see that Representative Mike Collins tweeted that more shots were used to repel U.S. citizen Ashley Babbitt from the Capitol than our foreign invaders? Wow. Wow. And then he reminds me, too, that Auburn's tipping off in an hour. Nice. War Eagle. John from Huntsville says, Phil, as fantastic monologues, I want to let you know that my March Madness brackets are actually still doing pretty good, but the SEC teams let me down yesterday, especially Kentucky, who was upset by the number 14 seed Oakland. I know. I talked to a friend yesterday morning and said she had Kentucky going all the way. So I guess her bracket got blown on the first day. Anyway, says Auburn plays Yale in about an hour. Hope they don't let me down. I hope Alabama loses to Charleston tonight. Okay, there you go, man. War Eagle, John. John T. from Alabama. This says, the Biden administration is acting in a treasonous manner, plain and simple. Yes, sir. I would dare say yes. And here's the thing, you know, you can say, John T., you can say treason. Now, treason has a legal definition. So lawyer Phil talking. I would say right now, it feels like treason to me because it's so blatantly obvious that they're letting these things happen. But then the on top of that piece is, or the other side of that piece is, that we've got to find the smoking gun. If we ever find the email, the text message, the recording, something that says, hey, leave the border open, let them flood in, we need warm bodies here for votes or whatever. If you find that, oh yeah, it's treason. Absolutely is. Paul from Coleman says, Phil, another member of the House is resigning, this time a committee chairman. This seems to be a trend. What's going on here? I don't know, Paul. Is that today? Because I haven't seen one resigning today. If that's the case, then boy, that majority is getting slimmer by the day. There was one that announced, was it Ken Buck? I think it was Ken Buck from Colorado, I believe, who announced about a week or two ago. So if it's new from that one, since that one, Paul, let me know. But yeah, it's getting slim, bro. And I'll tell you, too, some of them that are resigning are the ones who recognize that Trump's about to get elected and they've been anti-Trump all along and they don't want to have to work under that environment. They're like, yeah, okay, I'm going to the House. And they're going to get a job with MSNBC or something. Who knows? All right, listen, we got plenty more on tap. And I'm telling you right now, this is going to be a good one because this first section I'm going to do spins directly off my monologue. We're going to be talking about the invasion at the southern border. I do have to tell you, though, there's two pieces of breaking news, separate subjects, breaking news. I don't know much about the first one, but apparently in Russia right now at a concert hall near Moscow, there has been an attack in the concert hall. It's one of those mass killings in a, you know, crowded civilian space. The reports are that at least 40 were killed inside. I don't know details yet. I don't know what type of terrorist incident it was. I don't know if it was Ukrainians that did it, if it was Chechen separatists, if it was something else. All I know is reports are right now, this one's up on CNN, at least 40 killed in an attack inside a concert hall near Moscow. The other one is, on the right screen I'm looking at, Fox News is reporting, and CNN was earlier, that the Princess of Wales, Catherine, married to Prince William, is now been diagnosed with cancer. So there's been all this stuff that I don't bother touching. It felt tabloidish to me. Like, why are we seeing doctored pictures? Who cares? Why aren't we seeing her? Where is she? Why is she not out and about? Come on. But she's a public figure. I get it. And so people were asking questions. Well, she finally came out and issued a video statement today. She had some type of major abdominal surgery about a month ago, I assume for some type of painful condition, and they've discovered that she has cancer, so she's undergoing chemotherapy already. Anyway, that just broke today, so blessings on her. And you know, I was telling Big Rig before the show, you can't look at people on screen and decide what you know about them. It's a false impression to say that. But I will say that of all the people who make public appearances, she is one of the most genuinely nice appearing people. And I think she's a credit to the royal family. So we wish her the best. From little old Right Side Radio in North Alabama. All right, last text real quick for the break. Gary from Decatur says, it's Mike Gallagher. Oh, really? Mike Gallagher from Wisconsin is resigning in April. I had not heard this. Okay, I'll check that out. Thanks, Gary. Appreciate the heads up. All right, you guys, we're taking a break. We're coming right back, starting off with the very first one, Invasion. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, Frank from Huntsville just texted in. He says, when the immigrants with their U.S. government-issued cell phones call their buddies and tell them they forced their way through the U.S. guards and they did nothing, then you can better bet that more and more will be coming. Yeah. Hey, listen, by the way, I will say this, though, Frank. I think you can say they did nothing. And I say that because you didn't see the whole video. So these guys did the best they could. You had upwards of 600 illegal immigrants, most of whom were young adults of military age, by the way. Who basically stood in front of a line of about 10 National Guardsmen, who were you know, they're not able to open fire on the crowd, and they shouldn't, and they didn't have any other non-lethal, you know, support. It was just basically them and their bodies standing there, and those guys got bum rushed, and then they rushed the gate, and then they rushed the fence, and they have all since been arrested, is what I'm told, what I read. And I've got some other stories that'll come up on that. But your point is still well taken, because if we don't do something, Frank, you're right. If we don't do something, then the word's going to get out. And by the way, that's why we have 302,000 that crossed in just December alone, because they know nothing's happening. So let me just say this. I'm gonna jump into some details here, but this is why I didn't schedule guests for today, because I wanted to be able to unpack this at a pace. So think about this. It is not going to be just because of new things Trump does if he gets elected. It's going to be the threat of new things that's going to cause some things to change. It is. I mean, right now, numbers are down in Texas simply because Texas has been allowed to enforce its own laws, simply because Texas Governor Greg Abbott has been taking an active stance. The numbers are still up, way up in Arizona and California. But in Texas, they're beating back. I mean, it's still bad. It's still really bad. But they are beating the numbers down from this time last year. That being said, the reason why we have such epic numbers is because the world has seen that Biden's going to do nothing. Nothing. In fact, the something that he will do is probably what they want. He'll fly them to wherever they want to go here in the United States. Would you like to go to New York City? We'll take you there. Or how about this? You're in Haiti and you feel threatened? We'll send a plane to get you. It's going to be okay. I mean, just important. With you and I having to go through TSA security checks just to get on a plane to do a short commute to another city for business, you've got illegals who don't have any ID that are walking in across our border illegally and being given a plane ticket and ushered onto the flight. So, yes, I absolutely believe that a part of what's going to happen is Trump gets elected, because he's the nominee now. Trump gets elected. And he immediately begins to put new policies in place, and I guarantee you, you're going to see the numbers drop just on the fact that people recognize there's a new sheriff in town. There will still be some for a while. We'll have to fight it back down, but I guarantee you those numbers are going to go way down exponentially on the mere fact that something is being implemented even before it is. It's called deterrence, and it matters. So here's a piece that I pulled. I got this off of Governor Kristi Noem's gubernatorial, her governor's office website. She wrote a piece that it's called Matters of State, Why the Invasion at the Southern Border is a Threat to the State's Rights. And she opens up by saying, for almost 250 years, America has been the standard of a government of, by, and for the people, but today the American people are not secure. So go back to my opening monologue. If you heard it, I hope you did. I use the analogy of the movie Magnificent Seven. You got the small town of folks who are not sure what to do, but they're just getting overrun. They're getting beat up. They're getting abused in the process. They don't feel like anyone's there to help them. So they realize at some point they've got to push back. And they ask for help. And they get big help in the form of what became known as the Magnificent Seven. All right. In this particular case, the people of Texas had had enough. People of Texas were saying, we're done with this. We can't sustain this. We've got to make some changes. And so they called for help. Various other states, including Alabama, have sent their own National Guard troops and other resources and even law enforcement down there to augment Texas doing Operation Lone Star and taking their own action because the federal government won't do it. Governor Kristi Noem is one of those. She says, we have a national security crisis at our southern border because the federal government is facilitating the violation of federal law. A nation without borders is not a nation at all. A government that does not value the security of its people is not only negligent, but inhumane. So well said. I mean, that's where we are. We're right now with a government in D.C. that is not only negligent, but is inhumane in the way it's treating us, its own citizens. We're the ones that pay the taxes that support the flights to wherever people want to go when they storm across our border in mass waves. When the federal government fails, she goes on, when the federal government fails to uphold its duty to the people, the responsibility falls to the states. But Democrat politicians are urging President Biden to federalize the Texas National Guard. I had not heard this. So Governor Noem is, let me read what she says. She goes, if he were to do that, it would be the first time in American history that a president activated an American armed forces explicitly to stand down, to make us less safe, to not protect the United States of America. And if President Biden can do that to Texas, he can do it to South Dakota or any other state. So if you're not familiar, I'm just going to give you a quick rundown. I spent a good bit of time in the National Guard, commanded an infantry battalion here in the Alabama National Guard. I was with the 20th Special Forces Group for a while. So the National Guard is in a different category. You look at our uniforms, it says U.S. Army. Every member of the Guard and Reserve has to go through the exact same training they do on active duty and yet still hold down a civilian job. But in the National Guard, you're categorized differently under the law. In the National Guard, you're in what's known as Title 32 status, Title 32 of the U.S. Code. If you're on active duty, you're in Title 10. Title 10 is federal. Title 10 falls under the purview of the commander-in-chief being the president. Title 32 falls under the governor. So when the president needs National Guard troops, the deal is he can do what's called federalizing them. So when they deploy to Iraq or when they deploy to wherever, they go into federal status. They get pulled over to Title 10 so that by law, the president can then send them where he needs them to go. But when they're in Title 32 status, which is all the other days they're on duty, the governor is their boss. The governor is the local commander-in-chief. Governor Kay Ivey commands the Alabama National Guard. Governor Greg Abbott commands the Texas National Guard. And what she's saying here is that Democrat politicians, who have no clue, by the way, Democrat politicians are apparently, she says, urging the president to go ahead and federalize the Texas National Guard so they can't help in what Governor Abbott wants done. Wouldn't that just be backwards? Wouldn't that just be so characteristic, though? Wouldn't that just be the be-all, end-all? And I'm going to tell you right now, if he does that, it will absolutely... First of all, he's sued the state of Texas for everything they've tried to do. But he's letting the courts do... But if the commander-in-chief himself issues an order to federalize the Texas National Guard, he's going to have good grounds. And he'll have to pay them, by the way. He'll have to pay them for their work. And if he takes them away from Governor Abbott's use on the border, then I have to question if anybody's going to point out that all that really means is he's trying to get them out of the ability to enforce the border. She says South Dakotans are directly affected by the invasion. Cartels, drugs, human trafficking, drains on our resources. South Dakota was the first state in the nation to send National Guard soldiers to Texas to help. Every state is now a border state, she says. This issue is there for every American. And we need to be prepared to stand united to protect our state's constitutional right to defend ourselves. This is what I was talking about earlier. You've got to recognize that being pushed means at some point you got to push back or you're just going to get pushed around forever. Because the pusher won't stop. The one who's the bully will not stop until the one who's being bullied punches them right smack in the nose. New York Post has an article. Came out January 27th. So we're looking at what, a month and a half? The Biden administration's border policy poses an imminent danger to the U.S., which has been, quote, invaded by military-age men from around the globe, says a group of former FBI officials. Now, this is not like some lightweight group. This is the guy who formerly ran the Terror Screening Center, FBI Assistant Directors Kevin Brock and Chris Swecker, another former acting commissioner of Customs and Border Protection, who's also an ex-FBI superintendent. I mean, these were some known names, if you will. In FBI parlance, these guys were made men, all right? The Biden administration's border policy is in imminent danger. In a letter sent to January 17th to leaders in the House and Senate, 10 former FBI senior executives said the migrant crisis is the most pernicious ever to menace the United States. In its modern history, they said, the U.S. has never suffered an invasion of the homeland, and yet one is unfolding now. They went on to say, military-age men from across the globe, many from countries or regions not friendly to the U.S., are landing in waves on our soil by the thousands. Yeah. It is stark to say so, but having a large number of young males now within our borders who could begin attacking gatherings of unarmed citizens in imitation of the 10/7 attacks, that's Israel, at the behest of a foreign nation terror group, must be considered a distinct possibility. The warning lights are blinking. And I'm telling you right now, this you've got an invasion at the southern border. You've got literally they are becoming so emboldened and also desperate that crowds of them are willing to push aside our uniformed men and women who are down there doing their duty. Tear down a barrier and then rush the gates trying to demand entry into the sovereign soil of the United States. And 10 former executives at the FBI wrote a letter to Congress saying, this is a serious threat to our national security. All right, we're going to take a break right now. I'll come right back and I'll just pick up where I left off because I got more of this. Y'all, I'm telling you, invasion is where it's at. Invasion with an exclamation point. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower.
Hey, by the way, if you're interested in tracking some of the latest stats and news and like up-to-date issues related to the border, I want to recommend an organization to you that I go to. In fact, I got two or three of my resources today straight from their website. It's called FAIR, F-A-I-R. It's the Federation for American Immigration Reform. Very conservative, very solid, lots of news, and it's you know, oftentimes it's the news you're not going to get from the news themselves. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, FAIR, Federation for American Immigration Reform. So the border invasion. How about this? I had some trolls on my social media. By the way, you can follow me. I'm especially active on Twitter, X now, at Sen Phil Williams. That's S-E-N Phil Williams, S-E-N Phil Williams. But I had some taking me to task because I posted that video yesterday of the National Guardsman, you know, pretty much being assaulted by this, you know, group of several hundred illegal immigrants. And I posted on there that we are a hair's breadth away from seeing one of our uniformed service members killed or wounded, just simply doing their duty by these illegals that demand entry into the United States. And in the course of doing that, I had one of those liberals get on there. Well, Phil, if the Republicans would just join in, if they would just vote for the bipartisan, you know, border security. But let's be clear. That was not a bill worth voting for. They have already passed significant border control legislation in the House. I think it's called House Bill 4. And the Senate won't take it up. Why? Because it's real. Biden says, well, just send me what I need to get the job done. Let's be honest. What you asked for was a whole lot of money for Ukraine and a whole lot of money for other things that don't relate to the border. And then, oh, by the way, there was some border stuff thrown in. And some of the stuff that was thrown in included, all right, well, certain things will happen. We can shut down the border once there's been 5,000 a day that get through. 5,000 a day. Any section of the border can be shut down once 5,000 illegals in a day have somehow gotten through. And I look at that and go, I mean, for the love, why is that a good solution? You have to wait till you have 5,000 to shut down part of the border? And then on top of that, oh, by the way, it also did quite a bit of other things that you have to look at and go, you're asking for 4,300 more additional asylum officers. Asylum officers. You know what that means? That means they just want more people to help process more folks in. Wait, how about this? Why don't we put more people on the border to stop them from coming in at all? How about we build the wall? How about we actually have punitive measures in place? How about we upfund, incarceration? And deportation and construction, all the shuns, all right? And instead, what they want is we need more people to help us process them. No, you don't. You don't, because we don't want to process any more of them. Story here on February 29th from the New York Post, so it's just, 3 weeks old? On a day made for split screens and picture-in-picture, it says, former President Donald Trump and President Biden made near simultaneous trips to Texas. Do you remember this, by the way? And I'm still curious. I think it was that Trump had planned his visit first, and Biden realized he had to go. I think that's the way it worked. I could be wrong, but I'm almost positive first on the calendar was Trump. Trump went to Eagle Pass, ground zero. He went to the place where there are just literally streams that come across the border. Whereas Biden went to Brownsville, 325 miles down to the southeast. He went to Brownsville and demanded that Republicans in Congress show a little spine. Meanwhile, he went to the calmest place on the border. He went to the place where there's a lot less to worry about. It's a little cleaner, not quite as many flooding across. If Mr. President, if you wanted to really make a splash, you should have gone to Eagle Pass. And so they had these competing moments. And this article from New York Post is pretty good about saying, and then Trump said, and then Biden said, and then Trump said, and then Biden said. But Biden said at one point, I understand my predecessors in Eagle Pass today. So here's what I would say to Mr. Trump, instead of playing politics with this issue, instead of telling members of Congress to block the legislation, join me or I'll join you in telling Congress to pass this bipartisan border security bill. We can do it. How about this? He went on to say, we need to reform the asylum process. I don't trust him to do it. Why? Not just because of his abysmal track record in a variety of ways, but how about this? Just yesterday, I told you that a report came out that said that over 250,000 asylum deportation cases failed because the Biden administration did not submit the paperwork. Because there's a legal standard. I mean, as an attorney, I can just tell you, there are things I have to do in a certain order at certain times in order to make sure that I have protected my client's interests. And in this particular case, you had 250,000 asylum cases that were scheduling for deportation, and the hearings have to take place because that's the requirement under our law. And they didn't file the paperwork, which meant the cases were automatically dismissed. So why would we want him to help speed up or work the reform process? They don't work with what they've got. Listen, the bottom line is this. They're not serious about the southern border. It's an invasion. When we get back, I'm going to tell you about something that happened just this week. Little Harry, was that a terrorist we just caught on the border? Again? Phil Williams,
Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two. We're still in Dipper number one invasion. John T. from Alabama. He says, it's not an invasion. Biden has surrendered America to our enemies and anyone who wants to come in, leaving the doors wide open. Mm. Molly from Huntsville says, what if we just follow the immigration laws we have now? Yeah, wouldn't that be a hoot, Molly? I mean, actually just enforce the existing laws. I got a call on line one. I'll take that real quick. Dave from Rimlap over yonder in Blount County, I believe. Dave, how you doing?
Hey, Colonel, sir. How you doing today?
I'm good.
I wanted to make a comment on your assessment of what's going on with the invasion. If you have not watched the June of 23, I believe it was June of 23, interview with the world's leading cardiologist by the Pennsylvania State House, Dr. Peter McCullough. He represented at that meeting, that expo, the Free Enterprise Medical Laboratories. And their assessment of COVID is not, he was not speaking of the mask or the intervention into whether the churches or businesses can stay open. He was talking mainly about what we've got going on with these vaccines. And there's where your biggest war is. Listen to the entire interview if you can get it.
All right. Hey, Dave, we were talking about the southern border, and you told my call screener you wanted to talk about the southern border. You got something on the border right now?
Yeah, well, this is part and parcel to this. This is part of the war that's going on. This administration, and Biden's not got sense enough to go to the bathroom by himself. So, you know, you're looking at the United States Congress that's doing this. The most despicable character that I really don't like is Schumer. The very idea of what he said, if we're going to fundamentally change America as you know it, that started at the beginning of this. But the real beginning of this is the theft of the election. And people now are starting to realize that. But when you're talking about it, listen to this Dr. Peter McCullough.
All right. Dave, I appreciate the call, man. I appreciate the call. And first of all, I don't disagree. I think that we're looking at the great replacement theory right now. I think there's a fundamental desire to change America. And whether Biden even knows it's happening on his watch or not, I don't even know sometimes whether he does, but I think someone does.
I don't think he does.
I appreciate the call, man.
Gary, yeah, have a good day. Yeah.
You too, buddy. Gary from Decatur says, sorry, Phil, nothing cooler than Yule. Oh, nice. Going back to my opening monologue with Magnificent Seven. He says, sorry, Phil, nothing cooler than Yul Brynner and Steve McQueen riding shotgun, driving the hearse up to Boot Hill in the original Magnificent Seven. I'm not arguing, man. It was a good movie. It was. But when I've got two of my favorite actors, Denzel Washington and Chris Pratt, in the same movie, it's pretty hard to argue. So, but yes, I am not denying that for 1960s cool factor, you had Yul Brynner and Steve McQueen and Charles Bronson, by the way. I mean, come on. Marshall from Dubai says, I rolled out of Iraq yesterday to a notice on my phone from a buddy in California. He sent me the video of those freeloaders demanding to be let in. He said, if I didn't know it, you'd think that was from Afghanistan's withdrawal. Makes me sick to see how these politicians are handling things or the lack thereof. Totally agree, Marshall. Thank you, man. Appreciate you. Birch from Owens Crossroads says, pretty humorous right now in light of the immigration mess, but back in the day, 1980s, the Border Patrol had a memo stating that the pilots or officers were not to use the helicopter skids to herd the illegals. Said the pilots were flying MD-500s, little birds, by themselves, trying to work groups towards other ground agents. What else were they to do? Land and have the helicopter beat them to smithereens? That's hilarious. So now they get upset when we actually like have a border barrier. But back in the day, it was, you know, just don't, please bump them. Please don't bump them with the helicopter skids. That's a whole different level of please don't at that point. Ronald Reagan, where are you? John from Decatur, he says, John from Decatur here, answer this question for me. If they're pushing on our troops at the border and assaulting them, how is this not a straight up invasion and why can't we fire on them? All right, well, so here's the thing. The moment somebody opens fire, it's a brand new day. And I'm adamant when I say this. I really do believe we are beyond the need for what I would call non-lethal use of force. And I don't mean like
just barriers trying to stop them. That's an impediment. That's a speed bump. We need the non-lethal use of force capability that you see in riot control. We need fire hoses. We need, have you ever seen, by the way, have you ever seen the sonic speakers? Those things, you can knock a man down with the sound coming out of the speakers. It's unbelievable. It stuns people. And they're focused, they're targeted, and you can actually disperse a crowd with these things. We need the use of tear gas. And I'm saying all that. But the day that you put even rubber bullets into a crowd, we have just lost the momentum at that point. And so my hope is we do not have shots fired. I've had multiple people say lately, it's time to shoot. It's time to shoot. I get it. You know what? I do get it, but I don't get it. Because the day that we do that, it changes our dynamic completely. And we lose the momentum and we lose public opinion. And next thing you know, we've just given Biden something that we don't need to give him. What?
And another thing, just the fact that they have kids with them too.
Yeah, a lot of them do. You're right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to hurt these kids.
And that's a hard rub right there. You're mm-hmm. right. I mean, this crowd yesterday was largely military age men, single men. But a lot of these crowds are coming over and they're mixed in with women and children. Yeah. And so, yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of people that probably won't agree, but I mean, don't hurt children.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And by the way, the Border Patrol guys down there, they don't want to have to shoot unarmed civilians. They don't. But we deserve to know that we've got the ability for non-lethal use of force, and there are things we could be doing that we're just not doing. And I'm really not sure why, to be honest with you. I think it's overdue. Brian from Decatur says, let's be realistic. There will be an invasion of the border until a new president takes oath in January of next year. There have been 3 years of border upheaval issues. Nothing has yet to be done except for by the state of Texas directly. This administration will blow smoke until their last day. I don't disagree with that, Brian. But I tell you what, here's what I'm hoping is going to happen. The Supreme Court's going to have to get involved, and I'm hoping very soon. This week, we had it was like deja vu all over again. But this week, we had the Texas law, which I believe is called SB 4, Senate Bill 4 in Texas. The Texas law was enjoined, meaning that it was put on hold by the federal courts in the Fifth Circuit. It was appealed by Texas up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court lifted the appeal and sent it back to the lower courts, meaning that Texas could immediately begin to enforce their own version of state immigration laws. They could arrest and deport as a state. The Fifth Circuit, what I've not been able to find is a copy of the opinion that gives them grounds for doing it. The Fifth Circuit enjoined it again the very next day. So they had 24 hours on, 24 hours off, 24 hours. You know, it's ridiculous. So I'm assuming there was new grounds or additional evidence that gave the Fifth Circuit the ability to then slap a separate injunction on again. It's going to go back to the Supreme Court. That being said, I'm of the firm belief the Supreme Court's going to wind up being the arbiter of this decision eventually. It's not going to be the lower courts. Supremes are going to have to say, can a state defend the sovereign borders against another nation if they are a nation-bordering state? Could Michigan defend against Canada if it had to? You know, could you have Alaska defending the straits across to Russia if they had to? Could Hawaii defend the waters in and around the state of Hawaii if they had to? I think the answer is going to have to be yes, in the absence of it being done otherwise by the states. Okay, that being said, Brian makes a great point that the true test of change is going to occur when the new administration takes place, and I'm praying that we do have a new administration by the first of the year. But if the Supremes make a decision before then, Brian, I'm going to make a prediction. If the Supremes make a decision before then, without even having Trump in office yet, that says that Texas, go ye therefore. You can now enforce your own laws. If they do that, the people of Arizona and California right next door are going to be looking to their east at a state actually doing something and making demands for changes at their own level. And Arizona Katie Hobbs will not be able to argue. She'll have to call on her legislature to assist. Will she? I don't know, but I think she'd be put in a box at that point. She'd have to try. We'll see. David from Coleman says, would that be the smoking gun for treason? Yes, I see what you did. Play on words. Thank you so much. Wendy from Moulton. Yeah, different subject, Wendy. I'll come back to that later on. Thank you very much. Dorothy from Elkmont says, we need to start treating the situation on the border for what it is. It's a riotous demanding mob. Personnel need to be armed with tear gas, rubber bullets, water cannons. All right. She typed that about 30 minutes ago, apparently, and I just now saw it, but we are thinking alike, Dorothy. Robert from Ardmore says, if they harmed any of them in the process, they'd probably been charged and brought against the guardsmen. Yeah, well, that's a thing to watch. Luckily, and here's the thing. Luckily, I believe all those guardsmen were down there in what's known as Title 32 status under the orders of their governor, and so they probably would not have been. If they were in Title 10 status, it'd be different. But I don't think they're going to, unless there's something you know truly awful. How about this? How about this? We got to take a break. I just realized what time it was. I'm just on a roll here, brother. I've got a stack of stuff for Dipper 1. Take me to a break, man. I got to catch my breath and figure out how I'm going to finish up this dipper. I'm telling you what, I'm fired up by this one, y'all. And apparently y'all are too from the text messages. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it or call it. Same number for both. I'd love to get your input. I got a bunch more text messages we'll try to get to here in just a moment. And by the way, I will tell you this before I go on to this topic is when you're on the breaks and you hear the ads playing, just know this. That's how we sustain what we do. So yeah, Right Side Radio is a standalone entity. We are a business unto ourselves. We're not owned by the stations you might be listening to us on. We actually send them the show. We have our own studio, our own production, and yeah, we send them the show every day, but just like every other business, it takes, you know, revenue to run, and part of the way we sustain operations is by advertising. And listen, man, I'm thinking about this. If you're a Right Side ruffian, right, and you've got goods and services you want to sell, well, wouldn't you like to have a captive audience? Well, you've got our stations combined all tell us that we got way over 30,000 listeners a week that listen to the show across North Alabama. There might be a whole bunch of Right Side ruffians that would rather buy from a Right Side ruffian. So if you want to advertise on Right Side Radio, you don't call the station to do it. You contact us directly. You go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Click on the advertising and contact tab. Send us a message and we will get back to you. Lauren will call you. And Lauren from Right Side will have you on the team before you know it. Advertise on Right Side Radio. Go to rightsideradio.org. All right, listen, I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper. I was telling Big Rig, I am almost an hour and a half in, bro, and I am still on the same topic, but it is a big one.
Yeah, it's a good topic.
It's a massive one. Got a story here from CNN. I hope y'all saw this. It's only 3 days old. Feds investigate terror claims after a Lebanese migrant is apprehended at the U.S. southern border. So I told you earlier that we've got 10 retired former FBI executives who are all telling Congress in a letter that we are facing grave threat from what is happening on our southern border. And they are of the deeply held concern that we could face our own, October 7th style attack with people, you know, lashing out within our own communities because they've been allowed to walk across the border. Federal law enforcement, according to CNN, CNN says officials have launched an investigation following a U.S. Border Patrol report of the apprehension of a man at the Texas border who said he was a member of a foreign terrorist organization and had come to the United States in order to build a bomb. I'm just reading you what the article says. I have to look at that and go, did old boy go, I'm just here to build a bomb? I mean, I imagine there was some interrogation that took place. But keep in mind, think back about some of the knucklehead. Remember the underwear bomber, the shoe bomber? Not the sharpest knife in the drawer, right? So I can't tell you that this guy was coming across and he was an evil genius. He may have been the simpleton who they sent across with instructions. And we will have someone meet you when you get there. And you will be, you know, you will join in jihad. Who knows? But it says that officials described the apprehension of a Lebanese national named Basil Bassel Ebadi at the El Paso Border Patrol sector on March the 9th. The memo says that Ebadi was interviewed by a tactical terrorist response team after he made threats to border personnel. Ebadi was checked by medical staff, was asked what he was doing here. He replied, "I'm going to make a bomb." Okay. This is no fooling. Now CNN, okay, so CNN reports on it. Good on you, CNN. Then CNN begins trying to explain it away. We've seen the last 5 years, an increase in the number of known or suspected terrorists. But that doesn't mean they're all terrorists, says CNN. That was FBI Director Christopher Wray saying, we have seen an increase in people on our terror watch list. CNN, this is not the quote, CNN adds to that by saying, that doesn't mean they're all terrorists. In fact, CNN goes on to say that the records of any given year are actually extremely small. Small? What the frag? Small? You know how many terrorists it took to conduct 9/11? 12. 12. You know how many people on the terror watch list have come across our border in the last year alone? Hundreds. Hundreds. And they don't have to be on the terror watch list when they're coming from places like Syria and Lebanon, China. You know, just pick one. The number of people coming across our border, it's actually very small, says CNN. Because they're not all terrorists. It's because they're on the terror watch list doesn't mean they're all terrorists. Thank you, CNN, for that commentary. Do I want to do in this story? I've already covered that story. I'm going to move on. Let me tell you. There's a lot to be said for the men and women of the Customs and Border Patrol. They are doing a thankless job. They are not getting the support they need from their own boss, and they make it known. And I do appreciate this. Not the union now. The union's been speaking up very loudly for Customs and Border Patrol. The union can say things that the CBP rank and file can't say on their own time. But this is not that. This is the actual Border Patrol chief. Story on Daily Caller, dated yesterday. Border Patrol chief calls for consequences against illegal migrants, and he praises the partnership with Texas. Oh, you got to know that chap's his boss, Alejandro Mayorkas. But Border Patrol chief Jason Owens, he called for consequences against migrants. And he was pressed by the interviewer. Are you talking about jail? Well, yeah, I'm talking about jail. And then he went on to say their relationship with Texas, that there's no better partner. You got to know Alejandro Mayorkas was just fuming. And I'm glad. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like, whew, like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, we gotta switch gears, but before I do that, I gotta take some more text messages. I'm still getting over the fact that when I did that live remote Big Rig and I had no text messages, it's like, man, I feel like I just lost touch with half my audience.
Well, now you got too many.
Now I got more than I can handle.
No such thing as too many, but
that's true. We like our text messages. Bring them on. I like audience participation. A few more of these in, and I'll head on to the next topic. Bruce from Hazel Green says, "Let's just electrify the fence. Keeps my cows in." I got to ask you, Big Rig, have you ever touched an electric cow fence?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It'll wake you up.
It's fun.
That's okay. You and I have different ideas about fun then. But yeah, that'll get you charged up. In fact, I don't know if they all do this because I've never been a cattle farmer, but as a kid, so I was walking through a cow pasture. It was a shortcut to where I was trying to go. And it was one of those single wires, you know, that runs along just inside the fence line. And I touched it and it went yink. And oh, what was that? Oh, this is electric. Oh, it's an electric wire. Well, I didn't realize it went in pulses that changed levels as you, and so I yink, and the next one, and yink, and then shabang. I was like, so yes, I think if we electrified the fence the same way we do cattle, I'm pretty sure people wouldn't be trying to get soaking wet in the Rio Grande and then climb over the wire. TC from Priceville says the demon rats. Oh, the demon rats. The demon rats are blaming this border mess on the Republicans because the Republicans won't side with them on a border bill. The demon rats, quote, border enforcement bill would 100% have mass immunity and mass citizenship. Yep. And that's the Dems golden goose, he says. You're so right, man. And that's the thing is libs think, well, you just sign our bill, do it our way, and it'll be fine. Shoot. Come on. That's a do-nothing bill. And by the way, they've already passed a really, really good piece of legislation in the House. The Senate won't take it up. JR from Rogersville says, Colonel, I have not had the chance to listen to you today, but even at 75, work can still get in my way. Well, man, blessings on you. Says, I'm curious about Marjorie Taylor Greene's move today. Yep, that's off my topic there, JR, but the bottom line is I have heard, and I don't know much more about it, that Marjorie Taylor Greene is making a motion to have the speaker removed because of the spending bill. Same thing that took down the previous speaker, Kevin McCarthy. I don't know where it's going to go. We'll have to wait and see, JR, but thank you very much. Bernice from Tony says, time to let the January 6th non-insurrectionists out of jail and allow them to help guard the border. Mm. Wow. Scott from Decatur, a state has a right to defend itself until it receives federal reinforcements, which in this case will never come. That's part of the point, state guards and state national guards. JT from Lacey Springs says, if the hordes were coming across from Canada and thought to be conservatives, a wall would be put up from sea to sea. Yeah, unfortunately, there's not a lot of conservatives in Canada. Anyway, Rita from Scottsboro sent me a meme. What do we got here? She says, here we go again. And it says, oh, man, migrant encounters. This is Fox News. Yes, Fox News. Migrant encounters hit a new February record high. Dang. Thanks, Rita. It's good to hear from you, Rita. Marshall from Dubai says, my people think I need professional help, but our insurance won't cover it. Says, keep your head on a swivel and your powder dry. God bless the U.S. He sends me a meme. Oh, yeah. It's got Biden standing there offering.
Welcome. Please take a gift bag.
Yeah. A gift bag full of freebies from the United States as you cross the border. Oh, my gosh. And then last one. John from Huntsville. Phil, I need at least two dippers today. I'm hungry.